So the question is there any reason why Chazal use different terms? Why don't they just have one term? Why do they use the three different terms? Okay? The word Sutton comes from the word Sitna. It means hatred. It means an adversary. That's what Sutton means. Sutton means it's the game, and the game, of course, Satan. I mean, but that's a total, that's a pagan idea. But in what do you call it? Unfortunately, it affects many Jews also. The wrong idea. But the Sutton, the word Sutton is not a mystical term, because it's used in Tanakh, for instance, by Shlomo. So it says that Shlomo Melech, because he was not on the proper level that he should have been on, so God set up a Sutton for him. Who was the Sutton? A certain king that annoyed him. He had trouble with him. Sutton means it comes from the word Sitna, which means hatred, and it means an adversary. Anyway, it means a Sutton. Sutton means anything that's adversarial. It could be a person. It could be a lot of various different things. The question is, so now the question is, what are the three terms? Okay, so Malach, the reason why I have three terms is, he's right, Maxim is right, because it's three different effects. When you're talking about Yetzirah, you're talking about the instinctual part of man. That's Yetzirah. When you're talking about the Malach HaMavis, you're talking about man's and the fact that man is affected by death. That is, he has a specific, the body decays, the body dies. Yeah, the body dies. So it's a property of the body, Malach HaMavis. Okay? The fact that a person dies. It's two different things. But what Chazal is saying is that it comes from the same source, which means the reason why man dies is because he's physical, and the instinctual part of his makeup stems from the physical. Okay, the instinctual part of his makeup stems from his physical nature. But of course, the important question is, what is meant by the instinctual? What is meant by the instinctual? The instinctual man is different than the instinctual an animal. And one of the primary points that we've spoken about in the past, but it's important to remember, this is where Immanuel Kant made a big mistake, was that it becomes difficult to distinguish between what is the instinctual and what is not. For instance, man's sense that he's immortal. Okay? So Immanuel Kant believed that that proves that the soul exists. Just because, where does this come from? The Yadis does not accept such a proof. The Yadis maintains, on the contrary, that man's sense of immortality, his illusion, his fantasy of immortality, is from the physical part of his nature. That's really from the physical part of his nature. That's the instinctual, but the instinctual goes under certain distortions because a person is a combination of a malach and a behemoth, which means there's an element in him which is eternal, and that combination causes the instinct to express itself in ways that animals do not have. In ways that an animal wouldn't have such an instinct. An animal cannot think of immortality. So Kant believed that you see there's something special in man. There's nothing special in man. It's special, it's unique to man, but it's not a part of his eternal makeup. It's a part of his instinctual makeup, which, when you take instinct and you combine it with Seichel, which realizes the person's going to die, so there's always a rational wheel that's turning free and teaches man that he's going to die. And then because of that knowledge and the instinctual desire for pleasure, the combination causes him to fear, not to wish to have his pleasures extinguished, and he wishes to live forever. Of course, it's a logical mistake. I wrote a thing on that. I mean, some of you read the dialogue. It's a logical mistake because in other words, logically, if you're not here, so you're not going to lose pleasure. But that is based on the fact that the person feels that he's always going to be here. And that's why death is frightening. Death is a horror to a person, because he thinks somehow he's going to survive the grave. So therefore, being down there seems like a horror. So the illusion is what causes the fear of death. The illusion of immortality. Illusion of mortality, really, but that stems from his instinctual nature, his narcissistic nature, his sense of omnipotence, which is a part of his instinctual nature. I'm not going to go into exactly how it works out, but that's an important principle. That's why the Rambam says in the Pirshei Mishnayos that man in this existence has no ruchnius kind of enjoyments. No enjoyment that we have in our experience is really of a spiritual nature. I mean, we don't have a mistake. People think that this is a ruchnius kind of enjoyment. It's not. There's no such thing as a ruchnius kind of enjoyment. We don't have those kind of enjoyments in this existence. Everything we have is a psychological enjoyment. The only thing we have of the soul is the function of the soul. Function, but not the attending enjoyment. So you have to be careful when you say instinctual, what exactly you mean by instinctual. In Yadus, the instinctual includes much more than the world understands it to mean. And it's a different kind of it's quite extensive. But that's the instinctual, and then you have the Malach HaMavos, means the person's affected, the person is subject to death, which is affected, he's physical, again, it's his physical part of his nature. Sutton, of course, is a little more difficult to define. What exactly is meant by Sutton? Because it would seem once you have the instinctual, then when you have, once you have the... the fact that a person is subject to death, it would seem to cover all the bases. I mean, what is missing that you have to have the concept of Sutton for? What does Sutton fill in that's missing there? And you have both of those things. It seems to cover everything. All right. Malach HaMavos means that part of you which is subject to death. But the physical is subject to corruption and death. So what is the, I mean, how the question is, how does Sutton fit in? Yeah. Taisvis in Ervin, in Daf Mem Malachan Beis, he quotes the Gemara in Eilam Galchen. He says like this, he says, the Yetzahara, Afa gav the mashma beperek Eilam Galchen, the pa'omim she yitzro misgabra lo ve'ene yochal lechofa. He says the Gemara implies that sometimes a person gets her can gain such ascendancy over him that he can't control it. It's impossible for him to control it. So Taisa of course says, "Mikom kam adam yochal izor shelo yovle dekach." That a person has the ability to prevent such a state, but there are states. Chazal recognize there are states where the person simply is helpless in the hands of the Yetzer. I mean, he cannot do anything about it. He has no bechira. He's gone. The Taisva says that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not responsible, because he can prevent himself from reaching that state. By the way, Rabbi Sol Salanta says, Rabbi Sol Salanta, it's a Musar, a Musar said, he mentioned the same idea, that the person is chayev for, the person is megari Yetzirah, so he brings himself to a state where the Yetzirah is overpowering. The Sol Salanta says he's chayev for bringing himself to that state. I mean, the Taisa says basically, same idea. Same thing. But the Chachmei Musa says the same thing. What? Yeah, so I mean, so Shmuel is saying that in such an instance, you would call it Sutton. I mean, is that what you're saying? No, Sutton is a variation of the Yetzer Hara, where it's so overpowering that it's viewed, it has a life of its own, so to speak. That's what you want to say. In other words, it's overpowering, completely controls you. It's, in other words, it's two. It's a different form of the Yetzer, yeah? The Pasuk by Yev, it says, Yev Alafei. So at the end of the Nehem Mishteh, so he called them together, and he brought Olos, and numbers of the fan, numbers of the people in the family, Kiyamar Yev, Ulai Chotu Vonai Uverchol Akim Bovavam. Kocha Yasi Yev Kolayamam. Why? Because He was afraid that there were chotim. And olos machaper, really. Olos a machaper, but olos, the difference between the kapara, the machaper of an ola, and the machaper of a chatas, is chatas is a specific chait, and ola is really is a machaper for the Yetzirah, for the general tendencies of man that lead him astray. That's exactly what the pasuk says. It's in the beginning of a Yikra, you know what I mean? But it's exactly what the pasuk says. The easy thing is, ulei vercho lekim bo vavam. I mean, in Yiddish you have a big thing of birkas Hashem. Birkas Hashem. It means that because birkas Hashem is really a distorted relationship with God. It's more than just Yadis made a very big institution out of it. An institution of Issa. Birkas Hashem is even one of Shev Mitzvah. As it means to say that a person relates to God in an infantile way. So he gets angry at God. That's Bechol Kimbal Vavam. Because Birkas Hashem you're not chayiv unless you're about to prepare. I mean, that's the halachic Birkas Hashem. But you see, still in terms of perfection, if a person is Borech Hashem Belibo, so he's also over, because it means to say that he doesn't have the proper relationship with God. And he's angry at God. He's not makabel. His relationship with God is on an infantile level. So he says it's an interesting thing. That's basically what Eve did was he brought the kabbonis for that thing which is the most universal defect in man. So an interesting. That's kolal everything, because the wrong notion of God is what's responsible for. All of a person's avarice. That's what Yadis holds, basically. That's the whole idea. The notion of God is the one idea which, if it's not correct, it's not accurate, results in all in every kind of hate. It always involves a wrong notion of God. So that's why in Tshuva you have On Hashem. On Hashem. On Hashem means because you have to return to the proper idea of God's brother. But anyways, it says, Vahiyah Yom Vayavol B'nei Holokim L'Syatzev Al Hashem Vayavol Gam HaSotan B'Socham. Okay. Yeah. So it says that Vayomer Hashem al Satan me'ayin tavo Vayan Satan es Hashem v'yom mishut ba'aretz u'mishalech ba. Vayomer Hashem al Satan asanto libcha l'avdi Iyov ki ein kamo ba'aretz ishtam v'yosher yireh l'kim v'samara. Vayan Satan es Hashem v'yom hachinam yore Iyov l'kim halo ata sachta ba'do v'ad beiso v'ad kol ha'shalom misoviv masa yodav berachto mikneo Horatz v'horatz. Vulam shlachna yodcho v'ga b'chol ha'shalom im lo al ponecho yivor checho. V'yom ha'ashem al ha'satan hine kol ha'shalom b'yadecho rak elov al tishlach yadecho v'yetze ha'satan me'im p'nei ha'shem. So what is the allegory? What is that? Huh? A person experiences in life which are not a result of his instincts. Okay, in other words, in life you have basically two things that cause problems. One is the internal life of man, that's the instinctual, that destroys him. But there's another area that destroys man, and that is the area of the area of the imperfection in the physical. Okay, disease. Sickness, various things that occur, external circumstances with regard to the person, famine. I mean, all the defects of a person's environment, the physical defects that affect his life in a negative way, you see, is really something else. The other thing that a person has to encounter in his life. I mean, a person in his life has to encounter two things. One is an external world which has defects and affects him, and the other is an internal world which is the instinctual world that also can destroy him. Okay, the two destructive forces in man that man encounters. Okay, excuse me. Now, yeah, so we say, you know, 1 second. Yetzer hara is the instinctual part of man that's destructive. But Satan, that's what I believe Ram's saying. That's why he says, where God says, where do you come from, the Satan? So the Satan answers, Me'eshalech ba'aretz u'mishutba. It means he comes from the environment. The physical environment. You see, that's why the Satan is the one that says to God that Eov is a wonderful person, but that's because you gave him all the good circumstances. You gave him all the good circumstances. Everything is positive that surrounds him, so he doesn't have any problem in living a perfected life. But if you take that away, that's exactly what the Mashal is saying, basically. If you take that away, it means that's the Mashal. The Satan is not a personality, but the Satan is being used as a Mashal. It means to say that if he would suffer defects in his environment, you see, and external problems, there's stress that's caused by man's internal nature. Person can have everything he really should want, thinks he wants, and he's under stress. That's internal. But there are stressful situations that are resulting from external situations. Person's sick, children are sick, there's different various problems, they can't make a living, various things that the external world, the difficulties of the external world, that's what's called the adversary. It's an adversary. So Yadus recognizes as a separate compartment, separate type of difficulty. Different, that's the whole story of Eov is how to deal with that component. The Yetzer Hara, the instinctual life of man, the whole Torah tells you how to deal with it. That's called a Torah called tells you how to deal with instinctual life. Now, what do you do with the other thing, which you have no control over, basically? You don't have any control over external circumstances. How does man deal with that? That's Sefer Eov. That's really Sefer Eov. When the external circumstances are untoward, when they're negative against man, and that's why it's perceived as an adversary, and it's perceived as something external, because it is external to man, but the question is, how does man cope? Yad saw that as a big, big dilemma. Big question. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Sefer Eov basically about that problem. That's a problem that requires a different kind of analysis than the problem of the internal struggle with the instincts. That's the problem of suffering. That's the problem of suffering. That's the problem of the suffering.
Really?
Yeah.
So
now the question is, yes, go ahead. Yeah, that is true. That is true. He's right. He's basically right. And Rigamon Gurdon talks about the Yetzer Hara as it calls a Satan also. Calls it Satan also. That's a separate problem. But let's see what the three are. Let's see. Hold that on for a second. Yeah. So the question is, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. All we said basically is that the Chazal... Chazal really established three components, which they stated this is what man is involved in doing. There are three challenges, basically. He has the external world to deal with, he has his own internal world, the instinctual world, and also he has to face his own mortality. That's Sefer Kehelis, his mortality. Sefer Eov is the external world, and Kol HaTarakula is basically the how a person should work with his instinctual makeup. Those are the three areas of life. Mortality is really a major area. As a matter of fact, as I said, most things, in my opinion, most problems that people face are simply distractions from the fear of their own mortality. That's the greatest fear. A person to face his death and not be able, when a person faces death, he realizes that his abilities are, everything he has is, it's like the Rebbe one time said. The Rebbe one time said, when you go to Levaya, he says, not so much that you're going to die. He says, that's hard to take, but he said very nicely, he said, what's difficult at a Levite, he says, is the fact that you see the worthlessness of man. The worthlessness. He said, yesterday this guy had the same kind of dreams that I have, or some kind of aspirations. And today, in other words, it's a deeper concept here. A plain person is afraid of dying. That's a low level. A person that sees a little deeper in terms of his psyche, the fear of death is really the fear of the worthlessness of human existence. Because you see, all the aspirations and everything, one day doesn't mean a thing. There won't be a trace left. That's really, you see, when we speak of, it's an interesting thing, but you see, when you speak about humility, true humility means that a person has come to grips with his own fears of mortality. That's why you say, "Nafshi ke'ofa la'kol kia." Nafshi ke'ofa la'kol. What's ke'ofa? Ofa means death. Ke'ofa atav alef atoshav. That's the ke'ofa means mortal. So you see that is no doubt the biggest challenge. But you can't summarize everything to that challenge. I mean, the other fronts are equally important. But that's what Yad just did. It really expressed in Sutton, Yetzirah and Malach HaMavis. It gave the whole panorama of human existence, the human struggle. Those three areas. That's what Yad just did. Now the question, of course, is the question. Tani raised is that Chazal sometimes do use Sutton literally to mean instinctual, okay? Like the Gemara Kedushin. What the Gemara means, is that if a person allows the fantasy life to keep on being activated, then it has a certain permanent effect, and then that's it for the rest of his life. He's plagued by that. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Chazal says. It's an interesting thing. So it says, "Amar Chista Haida Difna Mechavoy Den Nesivno Bishitzar Viav Nesivno Barbisar Yisrael Avamina LaSutton Gira Beinecha." Okay, Klama Yisrael Mizgarabo V'Sutton Yetzar V'Lo Ira Sheyachtiyani. Okay, yeah, it is true that the Sutton, that the Gemara uses the term Sutton interchangeably. That's a different concept. That sometimes the Gemara uses Sutton. It depicts the Sutton as an external entity. I agree with Shmuley on that. That when Chazal do that, what they're saying is that a certain amount, it's in a case where the instincts are under your control, so then it's called Yetzirah. But where the instinct is something which is uncontrollable, it's out of your koch habechira, so then it's viewed as an objective kind of a thing, like an objective circumstance. It becomes a circumstance. Sutton is really the circumstances which you have no control over. So over here, the Gemara is exact, it's precise. Havamina la sutton girabeinacho. Because the Gemara is saying that if you don't take care of the Yetzirah at an early age, so he's going to affect you for the rest of your life, which means basically you're a victim of circumstance. So the Yetzirah becomes a circumstance. So then it uses the word sucking. Then it uses the word sucking. Okay? Of course, it makes no difference really whether it's an external circumstance or an internal one. If it's something that's not under your control, it's circumstantial. So that's what the Gemara means. That's why it's interchangeable. That's why it's interchangeable. But in its basic meaning, it refers to circumstantial adversary. Okay? Larve vasa sutton fits in very nicely. It means to say that a Rosh Hashanah, before Tkiyas Shofar, so, I mean, there's not enough time for a person to really perfect himself that quickly, but he wants to do Tkiyas Shofar properly. That means to say that a person should try various means to escape momentarily the effects of his instincts. You see, escape momentarily the effects of his instincts. That's a principle of Yadis. Yadis really is a principle. And the Yadus maintains that even though a person can't perfect himself, but he should, like what does Ram say? The Ram says that a person before tefillah, yaser kol machshavosav, and he put himself in a certain state that the satan shouldn't affect him, basically. That's what he's saying. It means to say he puts himself in a certain state that certain parts of his nature which are unruly, which he hasn't really perfected himself, that those parts are under control, but he should get them out of the way, at least temporarily, so that he can involve himself in a performance which will raise him to a higher level. I mean, that's what Chazal say, that you have to work, a person has to be a chacham with working with the Yetzirah. Sometimes you have to just simply push him out of the way, and sometimes you have to approach him directly. Depends on the circumstance. You have to know when to do what. I mean, sometimes it's not a time for a person has to daven mincha, it's not a time to do tshuva and get rid of the Yetzirah. I mean, not that they'll do it. So then you have a different method. You remove yourself from the emotions. Remove yourself from the circumstance, which is distracting, in order that the person can perform a mitzvah in the proper manner. You have to know which means of attack to use, which time. The person has to be a chacham. Okay? But that's really, that's the serving others. I mean, that's the you don't always use the same methods. You have to know when to use different methods. That's what it means by cross sutton, by the, it means to say that la'arve that's a sutton. It means to say that the tkiyas shofar has an emotional effect on the audience, that they're about to daven shmein esrei, tkiyas amusof, feel some asofni about daven, and they're going to blow tkiyas in the shmein esrei. But it's in order that there should be a value in the tkiyas, the tkiyas should create the proper effect, because tkiyas really tkiyas are part of tshuva, so therefore it's appropriate to have tkiyas before musaf, because tkiyas do have an effect on a person. It's a person has the tkiyas, the audience has tkiyas, it affects their mind, it puts them in a different state. See, it's true. People hear tkiyas, it's a different thing. It affects, if you notice on Rosh Hashanah, you'll notice after the tkiyas, the people are not the same as they were before the tkiyas. They're different. It's like a silence descends on the audience. The people like sense are serious. They're in a serious state. That's really what it means. It means to confuse the satan. Means now when they mispalel, so the tefillah will be in a different frame of mind. Different frame of mind. Tkiyas has that effect on a person. So that's why Chazal instituted tkiyas to meyusha. You shouldn't just get up to daven. Get up to daven, they're going to stop wanting tkiyas. It's got to be talking. That got to be this involved. And you can get himself out of his ordinary mental framework. But the tkiyas, the meyusha, set the stage for the person's kavaneh in tfilas musaf, so that he could when he hears the tkiyas, and the tkiyas, I mean the tkiyas with the brachas, it has a different effect on him. You see, it's true. That's actually, I mean, experientially, you can sense it. You see, it's different. I mean, not just yourself, but you see it among, you can observe it, really, in people. B'shas tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, that the tkiyas to meyusha really set the stage. That's what it means, that the tkiyas are, what's the lesson? That's what it means. Pushes him. It doesn't defeat him. It simply pushes him away. Pushes him away momentarily. So to use that word la'arve, it means like to confuse him. Confuses him, knocks him off for temporarily. That's what it means. That's why it's sutton, exactly. Because sutton over there means that at that moment, insofar as those emotions are concerned, you're a victim of circumstance. So therefore the term sutton is used. Sutton means an adversarial circumstance. It could be from the internal, where the internal is unruly, not under control, so then we simply call it we refer to it as an external circumstance. Okay. There's one thing I would add. The question is a good question. How does the Torah defeat the satan? Like, you see how it defeats the Yetzer Hara, but how does it defeat the satan? But the answer is very simple. The answer is because Yadus recognizes that really the satan gets to a person via the Yetzirah. You understand what I mean? In other words, the sutton, the external circumstances, when they are unfavorable, it's not really the circumstances, Usually, I mean, you can't say always. There's certain really horrible circumstances, but generally speaking, and the Rama makes this point in the Mora. That generally speaking, he keeps on saying, generally speaking, life is good. And generally speaking, his life is good. So the thing is that the way the person is defeated by the Satan is usually 90%. It's because of his own Yetzer Hara. In other words, the Yetzer Hara is brought into a certain state because of the Satan. So Satan and Yetzer Hara really interact. That's really a major point in the philosophy of Yadis, that you cannot just isolate the Satan. You can't isolate him. It starts from there, but once it gets started, the major effect it has on your life is how you deal with it. And that's because the Satan is gorer the Yetzer Hara. It relates, you can't really draw a line and say this is Satan and this is Yetzer Hara. Satan and Yetzer Hara interact. The person is poor, becomes poor. So, I mean, what does the Gemara say? Klumwa Yisa Ani Kehilo. I mean, Hillel was also very poor, but it didn't affect him. So the Satan didn't affect him. So that's because the Satan gets the person through the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Rambam really points it out. That the two are very closely related. People mistake many times, they make a mistake, and it could be that's what Chazal meant when they said Zu Satan, Zu Yetzer Hara. It means to say that they're identical, and people look at them, make a mistake, they don't realize that they interact. It's a net effect, which is true. And the same thing in Malhamavas. That's the person's recognition of the fact that his immortality is a fantasy, you see, is something which affects him, and that it's a cumulative effect. That plus bad circumstances, plus his emotional desires, has a net effect on a person. You can't isolate. And that's why it's Zeus Sutton, Zu Yetzer, Zu Malhamavas, means also that it has a net effect. It's a net effect. And I can't isolate them. You really can't isolate them. They're looking at them as separate entities, but the truth of my external circumstances, but it's internal. You know, Rashi means is. Rashi means, the question is, what does it mean by Uranus Yeshua Kain Gadol in Zachariah Gimel? Omer Lefne Malach Hashem, Vasat Nomer El Yemino Lesitno. So what's that got to do? Before it's talking about the ultimate benefit. Running the sentence about Sion, Kimi Valeshechanti Besach No Hashem. So that's Yeshua Kain Gadol Lomel Lefne Malach Hashem. Vasat Nomer El Yemino Lesitno. So Rashi says it means because Yeshua the Kain Gadol from his kids married Gayim. So what does it mean? It means to say like this. It means to say, so that was the Satan. In other words, the Satan was that the people will say that the simcha can't be complete because you see that the Kohen Gadol himself has a defect because his kids are married to Nachrias. So that will blur the whole simcha. You understand what I mean? So therefore the pasuk says no, that V'yom Hashem al Satan Yiga Hashem b'chol Satan Yiga Hashem b'chol Baruch Shloim. So Rashi says that shelo tikonis lefonav lekatre gal atzadik hazeh halo royu v'zochel akach shahutzo me'esh asreifa. It means to say that in Yemos HaMashiach, that the time Yemos HaMashiach, that things that went wrong in the life of the tzaddik, people recognize that it's not a blemish. It's not a blemish for the tzaddik. And now that's not the case, because there's guilt by association. So in other words, it's guilt by association, so it means to say that the gula cannot be complete unless there's a recognition of certain individuals as great tzaddikim. But this recognition is tainted by the fact that his offspring are defective. So that's something which prevents man from recognizing the tzaddik, and it makes the gula impossible. But it means to say, but what the pasuk is saying is that it means to say that at that time the people will recognize that this is really something external. It's not really part of it. It's not the tzaddik's fault. You see? They'll recognize that it's not a... You cannot blame the tzaddik. It doesn't taint him. It's not a blemish in any way. And the reason why this happened was because of the bechira of his kids. But it's not his fault. You see? That's why it's called satan over here. Because it's something external to the tzaddik. It's not really him. It's not really him. It means that according to that's what Rashi is saying. So it means... That's right. Bekolam al teichad kavodim. That's right. Not me. That's right. It's not me. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. That's exactly what it means. That's right. It's not my fault. It's true they're my offspring, but it's not my chesaron. So it means to say that Yemos HaMashiach, that in order to have Yemos HaMashiach, that the gula should be complete, has to be the recognition of tzaddikim. But if the tzaddik is tainted, so then there's no, there can't be any real gula. There's no simcha. There's no representative of the true way of life. So that's what the prophet says. At that time, people will recognize that's not his fault. It will not be a blemish, and they'll recognize that it may look like it's his fault, but it's really external completely. That's why it's called tzaddik. It's external to the tzaddik. That's what I mean. It's in a man's life, and it moves man from avodah zarah. That's the keyest in El, is all to remove avodah zarah. It's a different function. It's a different camp.